The date is July the 8th, 1992, and we're here in the home of Gertrude Waters, and we're doing this tape for the Bisbee Mining and Historical Museum Oral History Project, and my name is Dave Gorman.
First job I had in Bisbee, I worked at Lowell Grocery and Lowell for those people.
Was it what?
Blanche and anyway, that was my first job. Then I went to work for Russell Meadows at the drugstore, and I worked there until I retired. And that was the 30 years. Wrapped up the 30 years.
You started with Blanche.
Blanche and Durkin.
And what were you doing?
Grocery. She had a grocery store in Lowell.
Uh huh.
And I worked for her.
How long did you work for her?
I can't remember.
And then you went to work for?
Russell Meadows at the drugstore.
Uh-huh.
And I worked there until I retired.
What year did you start with Russell?
Kids were still in high school, wasn't it? Can't remember what year.
Okay. And what did you do for Russell?
Worked at the fountain.
At the fountain?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That was a drugstore, and you?
In the fountain. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are some of the duties that you had at the fountain?
I just tend to the fountain.
Uh-huh.
So you can move the fountain.
Was that soda jerker? Yeah. Making sodas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Making sodas. Yeah. Uh-huh. Quite experienced there.
Where was Russell's drugstore located?
It's on Main Street in Bisbee,
uh-huh.
And now it's called
Central Pharmacy.
Central Pharmacy. Now I think now it's just called Central Store.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you worked there till you retired, and what year was that?
Mm-hmm.
We've worked
for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. I worked there about 30 years.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what year it was.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of that work? What was your?
Well, I preferred that instead of checking groceries, you know. I was a grocery checker at the local drug or a local grocery store. Then I went to work at the fountain. And I prefer the fountain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like the fountain. You must have met a lot of people.
Oh, yes. I got along pretty good there with all the kids. And I meet them on the street, and they'll turn around to their mother. That's Coke. My name is Coke to the little kids.
You worked at the YMCA too?
Yes. I worked at the YMCA before I went to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
YMCA.
And where was the Lowell grocery store located?
Main Street in Lowell.
On Main Street. Mm-hmm. And you were a clerk, or mm-hmm. Did you put the groceries in the bags?
Yes.
Things like that?
Checkers, yeah. Yeah, we even had our own checking on the stocking too. We'd go early and put them on the shelves and things, and we'd check all day.
Did you find the bags were pretty heavy for you?
No. Because most everybody would either bring a bag in with them, you know, the carry things out with, you know.
They brought their own bags?
Yeah.
In those days?
Yeah. In those days, most everybody had their own bags they'd bring back and forth to store. I see a few of them here in town now that bring their own bags to put the things in.
Well, what about what years are we talking about that you were there for a number of years at the grocery store?
Let's see.
how old were you?
I can't remember. When I was there. Let's see. Mr. Meadows' dad, Ben Dominguez, and West Sam also Mr. Kruger on my face. He probably
19.
To Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
From Oklahoma.
Tell me about coming to Arizona.
Well, we came from Oklahoma here and had to work in the mines here. And they came out on strike in 1935. And what did you do then? Before you went to work for the city?
We moved out.
Oh, we moved out in the valley, yeah.
We lived out in the country for
several years.
Okay.
Until the children got in high school, and they moved back to town.
Mm-hmm. So what year was it you came out again? You came here?
From Oklahoma here? 27. Everett was born in 26, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 27.
And You came with your family?
Mm-hmm.
Were you married at the time?
Yes, okay. I had one child when I came here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what was your husband's name?
Henry.
Henry. Mm-hmm. And your child?
Everett was the oldest.
Everett.
He lives okay. right up here. And then
what,
her.
What year was Everett born?
26.
And what year did you get married?
25.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to when you were born. When was that?
In Arkansas in 1906. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what name the town was. I just know I'm Arky.
Okay.
And my husband was born in Arkansas too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your folks, where were they from originally?
Paul was from Georgia, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mom was from Arkansas, wasn't she?
You were William and Mary Buff.
Mm-hmm. It was my mother and father. And one was born in Georgia and the other was born in... maybe her mom was from.
What was the date and the month of your birth?
December the 26th, 1906.
And so you came to Bisbee in 1927,
uh-huh.
and you were 21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me about those early days of first coming and where
Here?
You lived, where you lived, and where was your first place of living?
Cochise Row, I guess. Cochise Row. That was the main part of town when we came here then. We lived down there until we bought up on Oak Street. And then, we went out in the valley in 35 because it came out on strike. My husband went out in the valley, worked on the farm out there until the strike was over. And he came back to town. I've been here ever since.
Tell me about life on Cochise Row.
Ooh, let's see. Well,
is that where your daughter was born?
No.
When I was about 6 weeks old, we had two kids when we were
27. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I had two. Eric
and Kathleen.
Eric and Kathleen both was.
I was just a little bit older.
Okay.
And she's, I don't think, she's only 2 or 3 months old when we came here.
And she said, I cried the whole way. I cried all
Tell me about the trip coming out.
Oh.
How did you come by to Bisbee?
Train.
On the train.
Mm-hmm.
First time I came here, came on the train.
Uh-huh.
And she cried all the way, and everybody on the train was trying to shut her up.
How about your son?
He slept most all the time. Yeah, he was no trouble like that, but everybody on the train would come up and try to shut her up.
Where did you pick up the train when you started your trip?
In McAllister, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came to Bisbee Junction, didn't it? Bisbee Junction. Got off the train. No, he came up to Bisbee that time, didn't he?
I don't know, Mother.
Well, one trip I came on to Bisbee on the train, but next time I had to get off at Bisbee Junction, so I don't know which one I went. I came out here. Stayed a while and then went back to Oklahoma. And then I came back out again and I came back on the train.
So it was you and your husband and your two children
mm-hmm.
on the train with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was it like to come to Bisbee for the first time?
Well, I had never been away from home before. It was something for me. Something different, yeah. I had the streetcars at that time, too, and I didn't know how in the world the streetcars going to get up to the middle of Bisbee, you know, but there was the track. Went up there, up by the courthouse, where the courthouse is now. There was no courthouse at then, and that's where they turned around there and came back down to the main part of Bisbee. And those streets are, have you been up Bisbee yet?
Sure.
Well, you know how narrow they are. Well, streetcars used to go right up straight to the middle of them.
And what brought your family to Bisbee?
Henry went to work in the mines.
How did he find out about
My brother-in-law came out before we did. And how come Mr. Crane would come out here? Oh, have you ever heard of Victor and Annalee Smith? Victor was shot by one of the, he was a Union man, and he was shot by one of the picket guys whenever we came out, first came out here. Mm-hmm. That was a...
When you first got here, that was one of the first things that happened while you were here?
The strike.
What did you think of that?
Well, I never had seen anything like that before. It was something different, something scary. Because you're afraid to get outside, afraid somebody's going to take a shot at you. Mm-hmm. After they shot Victor, they didn't kill him. They just shot him in the arm, and he lost. He lived for years after that, but he lost use of his arm. And his house is still down there in Warren. Every time I go by there, I think about it. Annalee was Annalee Crandall before she married Victor Smith. But Victor was a leader of the Union here, and he's the one that got shot.
Which mine did your husband work?
Not the camel shaft.
It was
coal. The camel.
What sort of work did he do in the mine?
Mucker. Is that what they call him on Great Grand? Mucker, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did he think of that work?
Well, first time he did, no, he had been down the coal mines with my dad. My dad worked in the coal mines in Oklahoma. And my husband had been underground. That's the first time he was ever underground after we married, you know. And he thought that was really a dungeon down in there. He was scared to death. He was sure scared of it for a long time. But he got used to it, and he worked in there for a long, long time. They came out on strike in 35. He never go back after 35, did he? No. He came out in 35. He never go back underground.
Oh, I see. He worked from 27 to 35 in the mines.
Uh-huh, underground.
Yeah. And then what did he do?
For the city.
Oh, really?
Farming first, and then for the city.
Uh-huh. He went into farming when he came out of the mine?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where did he have his farm?
Double Dobie.
Mm-hmm. Frank Murphy's place.
Tell me about the farming.
Well, we had all we wanted to eat, I'll tell you for sure. It was a good thing we all liked vegetables. Then we raised chickens, and then we had... beef. Every year we killed a beef, you know, that we had raised.
And rabbits?
Rabbit. We raised rabbits, and we ate rabbits, and we ate chicken, and we killed some beef once a year for our winter food.
What was the size of your farm?
Oh, we just,
I think they call it sure.
Sharecropping.
Yeah.
It was a big place. It's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Did you live out there?
Oh, yes, we lived out there. You should see some of the places we lived into. We didn't have no electricity when we got there either.
Did your family grow? Did you have some more kids?
I have five children. And I'll see. Can't remember now where Eve was born. Everett and Kathleen was born in Oklahoma. We came up here, out here then, whenever. She was just a baby. And then we had Edith and Lorraine and Ronald, other three.
We were all three born here.
And Nesby.
Mm-hmm. And so you moved to the double adobe place.
Uh-huh.
Was that from Croce's Row?
Uh-huh. Yeah, was it? Yeah, because we moved back on OK Street when we left the valley, didn't we? Yeah, we must. From Croce's Row, we moved to the valley, sit out there until kids got in high school, and we moved back to Bisbee.
I see. What type of a place did you have when you moved to the farm? Did you build your own place, or was
it? It was a shack we lived in.
Yeah, but it was clean. She wallpapered every year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just an old farmhouse. And we didn't have no water. We had to haul our drinking water.
Where did you haul the water from?
The people that own the place.
The well.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have electricity?
No, not when we first moved there.
What did you use for light, for example?
Lamps. I still got them over there. See, there, she's over there.
Those are the ones you had back then?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Kerosene lamp.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then for ice, we'd buy ice to town every Saturday and bought a great big piece of ice, and we wrapped it up and put it on the concrete porch. We had vines there. Boy, we'd cover that thing up, need glasses to chip, always very, very saving, chipping off of it. And I ate glasses till we went back to town. We kept the butter and the milk on the ice right then. We didn't have no dogs or cats, anything to get into it. And that's the way we got by.
Where was the town that you went to get your ice?
Bisbee.
I went to Bisbee. Mm-hmm. You remember the store?
It was an ice plant.
Ice plant's where we got our ice and things, yeah. Yeah. We hardly ever did go to Douglas, did we?
No.
For nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, for Bisbee. Because mm-hmm. we lived in Bisbee. Mm-hmm. Never did live in Douglas. So.
While you were living in Double Adobe, mm-hmm. and your husband did the farming, and mm-hmm. were you also working
on the farm? In the field, too.
In the field, too?
Yeah. And
what type of things did you grow?
Everything that you eat. Onions, mostly. We had, one year, we had 85 tons of onions. That was his main crop, you know, Mr. Murphy, Frank Murphy's, where we lived, sure crop with him. And then, just everything you'd eat, you know. Tomatoes, corn.
Green beans.
Yeah. Everything like that.
Then what happened with the crops that you grew?
Mr. Weaver, I still see his turn, tying carrots and green onions, getting ready for take to market. Mr. Murphy taking to the market once a week.
And where was the market?
Douglas.
In Douglas?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he peddled in Douglas.
Now,
he store bought most everything from him.
Were there other families nearby where you were?
Just the people that owned the place, so. Uh-huh. And then, Downs' place was the closest, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Edison, Ed Downs' place was the closest
to. They were related to the Murphys.
Yeah, they were related to the Murphys. And I guess that's about all. Oh,
So during that time?
They worked from sunup to sundown. But they didn't physically visit.
No, we didn't have any neighbors to visit with them. Because we worked all the time. When they come home, I'd have to clean the house, feed the kids, cook and wash, iron. In those days, you ironed everything, you know.
With
even the pillowcases.
Iron, you sit on the stove.
Yeah.
Well, how did you do the washing?
Breadboard.
Outside.
Outside. Yeah. Yeah, we had a warm breadboard there.
Mm-hmm. And who did the cooking?
I did.
And what kind of food did you cook?
Well, we had potatoes and the eggs for breakfast. Then we'd have potatoes and beans and for other meals.
Mm-hmm. And then
we didn't any of them go hungry, you know.
You didn't go hungry.
No, they didn't. We didn't go hungry, but it wasn't. It was a treat to send the kids in town to come out and see how we ate, you know, because they couldn't have that at home for breakfast, you know. Whatever we had, that's what we had for breakfast.
What type of a stove did you have?
A wood stove. And it had a back to it. We call it the warming closet, you know. And it had two places up here that you could cook your things ahead and put them up there, and they stayed warm. You got ready to eat.
How big was the house that you lived in, or the shack, as you call it? Did you have
four
rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And slept in the living room.
Four rooms and a path.
Yeah, that was a path. It was the bathroom.
Did you have indoor plumbing at the time?
No.
No.
Outdoors.
No. Uh-huh. It seems that. Where did we get our water at? Oh, from the windmill.
Yeah, we had a
windmill. We had a windmill, and we had to carry water down to the house from the windmill. To wash with and drink and take a bath. Oh, that's one time we really was stingy with our bath water.
When you went to town, how did you get to town?
We had an old car.
What kind of car?
Was it Model C? No, Model A? Model A, wasn't it?
Okay.
I think it was a Model A. I don't think we ever had a Model T. Mr. Murphy had a Model T truck there, though. That's what he gathered the vegetables in, was a Model T.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a Model A.
Yeah. Where did you get the gas for the car?
Mr. Murphy bought it by the big barrel, you know. But when we go to town, we'd fill up, and we'd try to make that do us until we get back, because it was quite a ways from where we worked in the field, and we'd have to drive back and forth from the field. It was about a mile, wasn't it? And then lots of times it was too hot to walk, and we'd take the car.
Yeah.
there.
When you drove to town in those days, were the roads paved?
No. Not even hardtop out there.
How long did it take you to get to town?
It came quite a while. Dusty, dirty. Wasn't you trying to clean up, go off with clean shoes or clean hair or anything because you didn't have when you got there anyway. Yeah.
How often did you go to town?
Every Saturday. That's why we would try to make it every Saturday. Isn't that funny? That thing woke me up. Well, it's, all the pipes are in that box when we lived that first place there.
You didn't have an ice box? Where?
No. When we moved out there on the Murphy place, what we call it. I think the old shack's still standing, too. I can see the trees down there. I think the shack's still inside it. And we had that concrete porch, and we'd buy big chunks of ice and wrap it up, and that had to do so we were back. We kept our milk and our butter on that, all wrapped up,
But we eventually got one of those old ice boxes.
Oh, yeah.
That you put chunk of ice
in.
Who was it? Pan underneath for it to drip into.
Who was it gave us that ice box? Somebody got an electric ice box and gave us the ice chest, I think. Yeah.
Tell me about Saturdays when you would go to town. Oh. Was that a big day?
You don't want to hear that.
Did you get into trouble?
No, not me, my husband.
What happened?
He liked to drink.
Oh. Yeah. What happened then?
Lots of times he couldn't make it home. We had to drive.
Oh, did you do the driving?
Yeah.
Did you know how to drive?
Oh, yeah.
So you took turns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He drove in and you drove back.
That's right. That's the way we did it.
Where did he go for his drink?
Lowell Waiting Room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he always go to the same place?
Yeah.
Did he have some buddies there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever drunkard in town?
Mm-hmm. How long did he stay there?
Till we drug him home.
Well, what were you doing while he was there?
Visiting my friend.
Got the kids off at the theater. Yeah. We were looking
forward to a
matinee
Western movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then that you'd go visiting with that
and
visit the bar.
So was this a day when you'd do some shopping too?
Or? I got our groceries to do it until we came back again.
Mm-hmm. Then what did you do for clothes? Did you shop for clothes in town or?
We made our clothes.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Who made the clothes?
I did. I made our clothes. Mm-hmm. I remember I had three girls from school. You'd come in my house and there'd be dresses hanging up because I made enough in the summertime to do them all school turning off. You'd come into my house and I'd have dresses hanging on they couldn't wear them around the house anymore, saving for school.
And what did you do for shoes?
Well, they bought the shoes.
Bought the shoes?
Yeah, we had to buy shoes.
You went barefooted during the summertime?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had to buy shoes.
Yeah. To school. We didn't ever go to school barefoot.
Oh, no.
And for the winter clothes, did you have who made the jackets or did you purchase them?
No, we were lucky enough to buy coats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so when you're living on the farm, you produced your own food.
Mm-hmm. Canned.
Did you have any other income?
No. No, just what we... Mm-hmm. And then, those onions now, they sold those all winter long, and that's what we'd have to buy our food with. But they didn't sell all the onions at one time. What else was it we had that we sold in the winter time? I remember the onions. Well, we had onions for sale all winter long, and that's what kept our grocery bill through the winter.
So you were at the Double Adobe place from about 1935, when your husband left the mines, until when?
When we moved back to town, up on Hawkeye Street.
Let's see, I graduated in 48, so it must have been 4 years before
then. 4 years.
Because if
I from 35 to 44, then you were at Double Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
So where did all the other kids go to school during that time?
Double Adobe up to the eighth grade, and then they had the choice to either come to Bisbee or go to Douglas, but you had your own transportation. They didn't have no bus then.
Mm-hmm.
You had permission. But my kids went to Bisbee. They never did get home.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get them to the school? They had to get their own transportation?
Yes.
So
how? In high school.
Oh, in high school?
High school?
Just Everett is the only one. He went 1 year.
Yeah.
To Bisbee High.
Yeah.
He rode with someone.
Sheridan.
Yeah, and then once in a while he'd take the car.
Yeah. Well, he rode his bicycle from where we lived up to where his ride was. And that's how he got to high school. Yeah.
And then before Edith and I started high school, we moved to Tampa.
So 1944 is when you left the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then where did you go from there?
To OK Street. OK Street in Bisbee.
Tell me again about OK Street.
Yeah. You haven't been up there, have you?
No.
Well, you have to go.
Okay.
It's just a one-way street. It's just like this, Youngblood Hill. And you go up, it's a dead end street, end of OK Street, that's the end of the world.
Real narrow.
Real narrow.
But it was two ways.
Yeah.
What type of place did you have there?
Well, we went up 24 steps. Our garage was right on the street. And then we went up 24 steps up into our yard. The house is there. The house is still sitting there, but it's about to fall down. But then the wash house, there's a great big old ditch there, and our wash house hangs over that big old ditch. And I'll have you know, I was afraid to almost go out there, but we didn't have room in our house, you know, because there's a four-room house and all of us at home. We had to go out there and wash because that's where the wash machine was. And I was afraid to go out there, afraid that thing's going to cave down in that big old ditch. It's still hanging there, though. Last time I was up there, it was still hanging across that old ditch.
Does someone live in that house now?
Yes. Let's see. People next door bought when we left, didn't they?
Reese's. But I don't have any idea who this
is. I don't know either who the Reese's still had or not. But now what was the people's name living in that house around the corner there? They had a daughter back.
Blytho,
yeah. Blytho lived there. And then what was the people's name lived down in front of us? They lived in Tucson now.
Her name was Alice.
Alice. They live in Tucson anyway. Oh, is there still living? I don't know. But that's where they were at last time I heard in Tucson. I can't remember what their last name were. Mrs. Bush lived up the street from us, almost the dead end. Bush. Now, who else lived it that way? Above us. Mrs. Bush. And the Reese's.
It must have been quite a change for you to move from the farm to OK Street.
OK Street, yeah.
Tell me about your life on OK Street.
Well, I went to work at the fountain. I worked there after I moved out there, too. That's when I went to work at the fountain.
And how did you get to the fountain?
I drove.
You drove down?
Mm-hmm.
Walked at times.
Oh, you mean when we lived in town?
From the OK Street?
Yeah, I always walked to work up there.
Because Dad needed the car.
Mm-hmm. Dad had the car.
Where did he go to work?
To the bar.
Oh.
No, he worked for the city.
Oh, for the city.
Okay,
yeah.
He was working for the city then when he came from the farm.
Uh-huh.
And he worked, what was his job?
On the farm?
In the city?
How would you call it? What do you call them? When they sweep the streets and...
Thursday custodian.
Street sweeper.
Street sweeper, I guess. That's what it was. What was the old guy who worked with him? That's how come he got fired because they drank too much together. What was Ernie Brutto?
Brutto.
Ernie Brutto and Henry was drinking partners. And they both worked for the city and they both got fired.
When did he get fired?
Oh, he was ready to retire anyway. Huh. He retired when he got fired. Well, that was the end of his work. You know, he had already signed up for his Social Security.
How long had he been with the city at that time when he got fired?
When he comes from the valley in town. I've been asleep since then. I can't remember that far back. Yeah, it was a long time though.
So where?
Yeah.
Where did he go? Did he have to go to the city office to start at work? Where was that located? Or did he just go straight to the street and start sweeping?
I see.
The place where you had your shirt.
Well, what was the boss's name? Can't think of his name. I don't know if any of them still around here or not. I can remember old Ernie Brutto, though, because they used to always get drunk together. That's how come. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Okay, we're back now on the side B of this tape. And by the way, the voice in the background is Gertrude's daughter, Kathleen, who's helping out with the interview today. And now we're going to talk about church activities.
We always went to Baptist Church. And we went to church on Cowan Ridge. Okay, until we moved out here, didn't we?
Yeah, you guys did, but I went to First Baptist Church.
Yeah. When did you start going to Cowan Ridge? Did you start going there when you arrived here, or was it later after you moved into town from Double Adobe?
When we moved in. Mm-hmm. When we lived out in the country, they would have church at one of the schools, and then we'd go down there once in a while. Mm-hmm.
So when you moved to OK Street, then that's when you would go to church there. And did you, this was your Sunday activity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was this the whole family that would go?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where was Dad and I baptized in?
San Jose Bible Baptist.
Oh, down here, yeah. I remember.
Who was that?
We were both baptized at the same time in a church, right down here at this church.
San Jose Bible Baptist.
Yeah. I see.
That's what we baptized. Right.
When was that?
19. Well, he's been dead 10 years. About 4 years before then. About 14 years ago.
14 years ago, you were baptized at
mm-hmm.
church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cowan Ridge. Church was torn down, and they extended the open pit. They tore that church.
Okay, where was that located then, the Cowan Ridge?
Lowell.
Lowell.
Lowell, right behind the fire station. There's a boat. Uh-huh. You should go up there.
Let's see.
There's a fire station too, right?
Fire station?
In Lowell.
No, there was a club. Remember, there was a big parking lot with the clubhouse,
remember? The big clubhouse there. On the parking lot. And Cowan Ridge was right up by that, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
So they took all that from
there. So how did the family get to church then?
Well, we walk here in town. We walk to church.
Okay. And then how did you spend quite a bit of time? Were there other activities going on at the church when we got there? Was there a Bible school or
Sunday school,
a service?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was there any services or other activities at the church during the week?
Yeah, we didn't go. She was working, too tired. Or
yeah. Tell me about working at the fountain. What time did you start in the morning?
We had to be there at 8 o'clock. Get everything ready, and the doors open at 9.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you stop at the end of the day?
Oh, I see. Well, we had, when I first started work there, I had to split shift. I'd go home at 4 and come back at 6, from 6 to 10. But that didn't last too long. Mr. Meadows got rich enough. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to open the night.
How much did you get paid?
$70 a month.
And how many days a week did you work?
6 days a week. We closed on Sundays.
And how did you feel about getting that pay? Did you feel like you were getting enough?
Oh, I was getting big pay.
Big pay, yeah. So what kinds of things changed when you started to have an income that you didn't have when you were on the farm? Did you, yeah. Were you able to buy clothing and other things that you couldn't buy before?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do your shopping? You didn't grow your own food then?
No.
When you're in town, so.
No. We had to buy
more
food.
Where did you do your shopping?
Watkins Market.
And then there was one at grocery store in Lowell.
Mrs. Stevens.
Stevens Market, too.
In Lowell.
And so the kids then went to what school when they got to OK Street? What school were they attending then?
You went to start high school. Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest sister and brother, they must have gone to Lowell.
Lowell, yeah. They.
I never go to Lowell. I just went to Double Adobe and then high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to go to Lowell school.
And then when you were in your house on OK Street, how big a house was that?
Four rooms
and a
screen porch.
Screen front porch.
And that was a bedroom. Mm-hmm.
And did your plumbing change? Did you have different kind of plumbing? Indoor plumbing this time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have electricity?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What about water?
Yes, water too.
So your life changed quite a bit, didn't it?
Oh, yes. We got to take a bath every day then.
We even got a wringer washing machine.
Yeah. Wow.
You must have felt really
like
you.
We were right
uptown. Yeah, we were right uptown then.
And then what type of cooking did you do? Did you have a different type of stove?
Yeah, we had a gas stove, didn't we? Yeah. When we lived in the valley, we had a wood stove. When we moved on OK Street, we had a gas stove. Had four burners to it.
And how did you find that? Was that easier for you to use?
No, I burnt too many things.
You prefer your wood stove?
Yes, I did then. Yeah. Somebody stole my... I had an old cabin up here on Pine Ridge, and I had my wood stove, and oh, I just love to go up there. Been about 3 years ago, isn't it?
At least
three years ago, somebody went in and taken my stove and my those old safes, you know, that you put dishes in. They taken that, taken my stove, taken everything out. And some of those dishes was over 100 years old because I used to do housework, you know, and people say, this was my mother's. You take it. I don't want it anymore. And a lot of my dishes was over 100 years old, and they taken everything out of my cabin up there. Oh, it's still hanging up there, but just about ready to fall down, though.
Where is that located?
On Pine Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Pine Ridge Canyon. Pine Ridge Canyon, yeah.
And that's a cabin you have up there?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's about to fall down, though.
And how did you come to have a cabin up there?
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law that live next door to us here, they bought a lot of land up there, and they moved to my house up there. That had a bathroom to it, you see, because she wouldn't use an outdoor toilet like we did, because she's from, what, New York? Charlotte was from New York, wasn't she? Anyway, she couldn't rough it out like we did, you know, so they had to get her. I think she's from New York, someplace like that.
Indiana.
Yeah,
because remember we used to go back and see her old
aunt? Oh, yeah, see her aunt, didn't you? Yeah. Well, anyway, she wouldn't rough it out like we did, so they moved to house up there and fixing my bathroom and everything, but we had the little cabin that's still sitting there, just about ready to fall down, though. It's still mine, though. I still have the deed to it. But the government taking that land up there now. The government has it.
How did the government do that?
Well, how come did you get it? The man...
My aunt and uncle sold their property to someone else, and the people that bought it made a deal with the government that they would take property elsewhere, and the government took the
place up here.
The property. they just made a deal with the exchange of properties.
So the cabin that you had, when did you get the cabin up there?
Oh, well, I guess it seemed like that had been.
Well, at least 1950.
Yeah, it's way back there. That was our weekend outing.
So you must have been doing very well then at that time to be able to have a second
home.
Piece of property, on second home.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you could see the cabin, you'd think.
It was two rooms.
Just two rooms and a path.
So how did you come to first get the cabin?
John and Charlotte gave it to them because they were always together.
Yeah, we were all together. Uh-huh. And so they bought, where'd they buy that house down here in Hereford, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had bought them a house in Hereford and had it moved up there and had the bathroom and stuff. Of course, she wouldn't leave like we did, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they gave us the old cabin, and it's still my cabin.
Yeah. And how did you use the cabin? Did the whole family go up there?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's two rooms, and we'd have everyone sleep in the kitchen on the couch. And we had two big beds in the bedroom and a trailer down to the bathroom.
How often did you use it?
Every weekend.
Yeah.
As soon as I got off work, we'd go up. Uh-huh. And lots of times, well, Charlotte and them, she didn't work. She had to go up ahead and have supper ready when I got up there. Henry would go up with them, and then the kids and I would go up when I got off work, and they got out of school while we'd go up there.
And what kind of activities would you have up there at the cabin?
Nothing in the world, but watch out for a rattlesnake. Watch out for a rattlesnake.
Cards.
And play cards.
They love play cards.
Yeah. Now, how about the kids? What do the kids do?
Climb trees.
Yeah.
And run and have fun.
Yeah.
Waiting
in the stream, little stream. Uh-huh. Still runs down there.
Was it? Was there a difference in the weather or the temperature?
A lot cooler up there.
Yeah.
Real cool up there. And there's always a little stream of water come right down with it. That's where we got our water to. Well, I guess we drank that water too part of the time, didn't we?
Yeah, a long time
ago. Yeah, a long time ago we drank the water. But then we got where we taking our drinking water, but we'd get water to divorce the dishes and take a bath and everything. I'm taking a bath in a round tub. And
How did you drive? Did you drive up there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did they have passable roads?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're still not paved.
It's still not paved.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what happened down at the armory. So they must be trying the alarm. That's the armory down there. I guess they're trying it out.
Oh, I see. Well, we'll see if the tape picks it up.
I will.
If not, they'll say, what is she talking about?
Yes. So when was the last time you used the cabin?
Well, Everett went up their season and came back and knocked on the door. I said, what are you doing back? He said, you don't want to hear. I said, oh, it burnt down. He said, no, it's worse than that.
That's where it was broke into.
It was broke in. They're taking everything out. Mm-hmm.
So that's been at least 5 years.
5 years ago. Uh-huh. Now, he went up there, and they stay up there on the deer hunting, you know. He went up there, and there was nothing there. He come back, and I said, what are you doing back? He said, you don't want to hear. I said, oh, it burnt down. No, it didn't burn down. It's worse than that. And somebody taking everything out of it. So we went up the next day, and what was it? A bed or something there?
Yeah, a bed.
And a mattress, and it had a hole in it, and Kathleen sprayed it, had a mouse in it, and she hauled it to garbage dump the next day.
Oh.
And we didn't save it after her hauling it all the way down here because there's a hole in it, you know.
Did you use the cabin then mostly during the summer, or was that year round?
Year round.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that wood stove would heat up those two rooms there just fine. And first in there made a fire.
Did it get pretty cold in the wintertime up there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had but that was still snow off the steps.
Steps to get in.
Uh-huh. But you still went up.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, they loved it up
there. I still like to go up in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. When was the last time I was up there?
Well, it's been about 2 years ago. We drove up by there.
Yeah.
Took pictures of the old place.
Yeah. And one end of the cabin was just about to cave in, you know, the foundation, everything was gone on, rotted out, I guess. Anyway, it was just about to fall in. So, well, I still say my cabin, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got the deed to it.
Yeah.
Like, that would do me any good.
So then, when you were up there, you did the cooking?
Oh, yeah, on the wood stove.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the kids would be out playing.
Yeah.
And you'd play cards.
Yeah, at night, we played cards, oh, gosh. And the men would beat us. Quite a bit, and then my sister-in-law
didn't want them to count them, see how much, and she'd get up and shove it around like that, you know, and not two or three times hit her, almost hit her. She didn't want the men to know how much they beat us, you know. Boy, she'd jump up and shovel those cards up together.
Was that a fun place for your husband to go?
Yes.
Did he enjoy drinking up there too?
We all did. All of us did. Charlotte was the worst one, wasn't she? Because she didn't like the outdoor like we did. But all the rest of us liked it really well. But she would take along anyway. They're the one that bought a house from down here. And Hereford had it moved up there and had a bathroom. Then she wasn't so bad then. She liked up there pretty good. Yeah.
Did you have occasion then when you drove up? Did your husband do the driving up there and you drive back? Or was he drinking at the time?
No, he wouldn't be drinking at the time we'd go up there.
Oh.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't be able to drink or to drive after he got through drinking here in town.
Well, when you moved to... town, did he continue to frequent the Lowell waiting room?
Yeah. Yes, pretty good sometimes. But not as bad. But I left him, you know. And then the only way I'd take him back, but Everett said that he wouldn't go to school if I didn't. And I said, well, the only way I'll take him back if he'll promise he won't get drunk anymore. So he did. He promised he wouldn't. And so he joined the church after that. And the last 10 or 20 years, we were happy together.
Then you were at the fountain for 30 years.
Yeah, just about 30 years.
So from about, 1944, mm-hmm. when you first came in from Double
Valley.
Adobe,
uh-huh.
until about 1974?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Now, did you still have the same owner of the place?
Mm-hmm.
Meadows.
Mister. Right? Uh-huh. Russell Meadows.
Ben Dominguez was the manager.
Uh-huh. Ben Dominguez was a manager.
That's quite a long time. Did they give you a pension?
Yeah. Went to work there for $70 or $70. I think it was $70 a month. Could you imagine? But I thought that was big money, you know.
But 30 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I see Ben still in town. Mr. Meadows and Mrs. Meadows, all of them are dead, but Ben is still living. But I saw him the other day, and he just was creeping. Well, at least I can straighten up and walk fast.
Tell me about your regular customers at the fountain.
Well, I had some good ones and had some bad ones. One guy told me one time, says, don't draw that fountain thing so fast it makes more foam and I don't get my money's worth out of it. Then I'd have to put just a little bit, make the foam go away and put a little bit more. He wanted the glass full of Cokes. He didn't want it full of foam. Oh, we had some dudes up there. Oh, yeah. Well, quite experienced there.
Did some people come in more often than others?
No, because, everyone that worked around there would always come there for their break, for their Cokes then, you know. But outside of that, it just passerbys every day, you know.
Was it
high school kids?
Yeah.
Was it
high school
where kids like to come? And
yes, we had the... Mr. Meadows and Ben Wolfers was cranky with the high school kids, though, because that time, the high school was just up above there, you know, up in the old Bisbee there. And the kids would come down there, and they were awful hateful. They would tell you, get your drink and get up so somebody asks and sit down. And that's what they'd have to do. They'd have to drink their drink in a hurry and get up, you know, because it was just a short fountain there, you know.
How many could you seat at the fountain at one time?
I think there's 12.
12 stools?
Uh-huh. I think they're still there.
We've been in there for a long time.
Oh, and I went one day and went behind the counter and didn't look very clean, so I didn't have a Coke either.
What were some of the things that you used to make or to sell at the fountain?
Floats, ice cream sodas, milkshakes,
sundaes.
What was the most popular things that people wanted to have at the fountain?
Cokes.
Cokes, mm-hmm. Yeah. When you had made the ice, you used the ice cream. Was it the hard ice cream?
Yes.
Was that getting hard on your hard on your hands sometimes?
Yes. Sometimes we'd have to dig.
Yeah. Did you have different flavors?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was strawberry and chocolate.
Yeah. Then we had the extra flavor in the later years. You know, when they got to making up all this different things we had. We had a big spoon about that leg. Long with a handle on it. It was a metal And that's what we'd have to dig in there and soften it up so we could dip it out with a dipper. Because if we'd give a little bit too much, well, we heard about it. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to dip down there with that round thing and all. And they'd always watch us. You didn't think they'd be standing watching, but you got too much of a dip on that one. Next time, make it a little smaller.
What famous people would come into the fountain? Any bigwigs in town? The mayor or police chief or anybody come into the fountain and have a drink?
No. Uh-huh. What?
Well, they would, but then...
Yeah. That Mr. Williams that had the patron's eye.
Can you remember him?
Oh,
Coy Williams.
Governor. He was the governor?
Coy Williams' brother.
Oh,
I don't know. Anyway, I enjoyed him coming in because he'd visit with me. And he's Williams, but I can't remember what his name is. He's Coy Williams. Coy Williams still here.
He's dead.
Oh, Coy died? Well, anyway, Mr. Williams used to come in, and he would visit with me and tell me about what was happening in other places, you know, and I always enjoyed my visit with Mr. Williams. He was Coy Williams' brother, but I can't remember his name. He was an old-timer here, and he wore a patch on his eye all the time. That's how I can remember him.
Were there any other characters that you remember, that these kind of stand colorful people that would come in and be around?
We weren't allowed to serve colored people at our fountain.
Oh, really?
And I've cried a million times about that because I had some good friends in this town that were colored people. Still have some. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Stacy, what's her name? Stanley. She lives right down below us here on the highway here.
And was that the owner's rule that?
Oh, yeah. Right. And they'd see colored people come in, and I'd pretend I was busy down the other end of the fountain, and Ben would come over and pull his pants this way. We don't serve colored people in here, he'd say. Embarrassed me to death.
That's changed.
Did that change?
Did that change
before you left? Or?
No. Uh-uh. No, when I left, we still couldn't serve colored people. That changed after I left. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any other people you could not serve?
No. One time there was a drunk man came in there and sat down at the end of the fountain, and I knew his son, but I didn't know this man, and this man was talking to me, and he was so drunk, and he got up, and he kept staggering around, and so Ben came over, and he said, well, you're friends. We don't like that kind in this drugstore, and I didn't know what he was talking about. That man was drunk, and I had never seen him before in my life, because I knew his boys, but I didn't know that. The man was. And I didn't know that man, and Ben came over and said, your friends that you have in here, he says, we can do without those. And it wasn't my friend. I never saw a man before in my life.
How about other places around Bisbee? Did they have the same policy about serving blacks?
No.
In the store?
No. Mm-mm. It wasn't very long after that till they had to start serving people.
So it was just this?
I worked there for a while, and I served a couple of colored ladies. And after they left, he came and told me that
what was the attitude towards folks from across the border?
Oh, he was a Mexican himself.
Who's that?
Ben Dominguez.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we got to serve them. Uh-huh. I didn't know what they're talking about, but that was all right. I'd motion this, motion that. Uh-huh. Sometimes they wouldn't get what they wanted, but I couldn't help it because I didn't. Yeah. I don't understand Spanish.
I imagine there were citizens within the community as well as folks who might come across
yes.
the border.
Yes, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What was the general attitude in the town towards those folks? Was there as much of a difference there between folks as there was with the blacks?
No.
Some folks really were very prejudiced
the
towards blacks, but not towards
yes.
Mexicans.
Not Mexicans. Ben was a Mexican. No. Lots of times I'd be so embarrassed. I'd motion for Ben and I could. They couldn't even speak English at all, you know, and I didn't know what to talk about, and I motioned for Ben. That make him so mad. And he said, been here all these years and you can't speak Spanish yet? And I said, no, I don't want to learn either. No, I just never did have no desire.
You had your weekends you had with your, is it your brother-in-law? And you grew up in the cabin?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that was one of your closest social contacts with folks. Did you have other friends that you'd see frequently from time to time?
Oh, yeah. Half the people coming in the fountain got to be my friends. I saw that Mrs. Stanley, she's a colored woman. Saw her up in town the other day, and we just acted like we knew each other always, and we just hugged each other, and she was a colored woman. That didn't make a difference. She'd been my friend for years and years and years. No. The law passed, you know, that you had to serve anyone like that. So that helped a lot, you know. But I had to turn down a many of my friends because I wasn't allowed to serve the Mexican people. And Ben was Mexican himself. But they just didn't do it. But the law passed that you had to, you know.
Yeah.
And I was sure glad to.
What are some of the other humorous things that happened to you at the drugstore?
I got fired.
You got fired?
2 or 3 times.
How come?
Well, we didn't need names, but she got into a fight with one of the ladies that worked there.
And I got fired once because I went to Oregon, wasn't it? And I was gone a week too long, and I lost my job then. So I didn't care. I could draw on the unemployment. I started out the door one day and heard someone go, pit, 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 right behind me. Turn around, Mr. Meadows, we'd like for you to come back to work. Oh, crazy me. I went back to work because I was drawing on unemployment, you see. I went back to work. I guess they fired me about 3 times, didn't they?
I think so.
And every time I'd go right back, turn on the cheek.
But each time they had to pay her a little bit more because she wouldn't go back to work for the same.
How did your family celebrate special occasions like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter? Were there any special things that you did?
We all got together, and there was a big crowd when our family got together. That's all we needed, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did you get together?
We take turns, houses, different house, her house, or where did Lorena and Edith live when they lived here?
I lived in Tucson.
Oh, yeah, you lived in Tucson at that time. Well, we'd take turns around the kids' house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could, we'd go up the mountains, the old cabin, and John Sharp would be up there. And sometimes some of the people from town would come out and have dinner with us and come back. Well, we'd go for the weekend, or if I was on vacation, we'd stay the whole time out there.
What kind of food did you cook for those special times?
Fried chicken.
Was that fried chicken? Was that your favorite?
That was their favorite. And they'd bring the chicken, and I had to cook it, and I had to bake biscuits in the oven, too, for them.
So for Christmas, you'd have fried chicken, too?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Thanksgiving? And fried chicken.
Sometimes I'd bake a chicken,
turkey.
A turkey in the oven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't afford a turkey too often, could we? Mm-hmm. We'd lucky to get chicken, wasn't we? Mm-hmm.
We just have a few minutes left on the tape, and I wonder if you can think of some questions that I didn't ask you. That I didn't think to ask you, and maybe I should have.
Well, how did we all sleep when we went up there?
Okay.
Well, it was just 2 rooms, and we had 2 beds in there. And then in the kitchen, we had a couch, and we let that out. And then some of them would bring the sleeping bags and lay on the floor. And that's why we put them all up somewhere.
I was up at the cabin.
Cabin. Mm-hmm. Said one day, no wonder it caved in. There was somebody else in there. One time, there was 14 of us, wasn't there? 14 of us at one time in that 2-room cabin.
Would it get a little crowded?
Yes, it was crowded. You wouldn't dare get up and try to walk outside at night. You'd step on somebody in the floor.
Or a rattlesnake.
A rattlesnake. Oh, yeah. That's all I could
imagine. There was outdoor plumbing there, too.
Yes. But all I could ever remember, watch out for the rattlesnakes. Can the kids went outside to play? Watch out for the rattlesnakes.
Did anybody see rattlesnakes?
Yes, I killed one right behind the, with a hole, right behind the cabin.
Did anybody ever get bit?
No. No, they always ran when they saw a snake. Where a rattlesnake part was, they ran. And I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm afraid of snakes. And I'm afraid of lizards too.
Mm-hmm. What other questions have I not asked you? What are some of your other favorite memories of those days?
Well, we could hardly wait a week and got here to go up the old cabin. And as I say, you know, they used to go up ahead of me and have separated when I got there.
Well, that was nice for you.
Yes, it was nice
for me. You didn't have to cook that day.
I didn't cook that day. But I had to make up for it the other time because Charlie didn't like to cook. Yeah. Yeah, that was our outing out there.
Well, I got another question for you. What was the best piece of advice anybody ever gave you? Might have been maybe your parents or some other person. Anybody give you some advice that you ever really thought was really good?
Well, the worst one I can remember, before I was married, I was going to board and he left and wanted me to come down to him, you know. And my dad says, if you're not worth him coming back here to get you, and he gets you off down there, then he'll say, well, I didn't tell you, I didn't bring you down here. You can get back like you got to. So that stopped that. My dad stopped that. I still think about it. First time my dad ever said anything about the way I'd live or what, who to go with, or anything, he'd said, well, he'd get you off down there in the mountains, away down the mountain somewhere, I don't work with him. Get you down there, he says. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you, he didn't bring you down there, you can get back the best way you can. So I didn't go.
Was that in Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you were born in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
When did your family go to Oklahoma?
When I was 3 years old.
And so then you were there the rest of your time before you came to Bisbee. Yeah. You said you never went anywhere else.
Uh-uh.
You'd always been with your family.
Oh, right there. I think like a family. Yeah.
And now you have, how often do you see your daughter is here in town, right? And your other kids, where are they?
And my oldest boy lives 2 blocks up this way, and she lives 2 blocks on that side of me.
Oh, walking distance.
Yeah. And then my two daughters, the next two, lives in Corvallis, Oregon. And then the baby of the family lives in Reno, Nevada.
How often do you get to see them?
Once a year.
We have a family reunion in August.
We haven't all been together since Dad died.